I wasn't a 4.0 student, but you know, not all of us are spiritual giants either, and we can share our testimonies. And so I can share with you some information on how to study without that having been, you know, the greatest strength in my life. And I wasn't a bad student, but I was a good student. And I mean, I wasn't an excellent student, but I was a good student. And I would say that if I did have just a pitiful grade point, that, you know, that you might be a little bit of a clanging cymbal up here. Really, who needs to be sharing this is some of you and my wife, who helped me work this up. In fact, she did half of it the first time we shared this. But she was a 3.8 in math, and she's sharp. She's smarter than I am. Don't any of you tell her that. But real funny, Tom. Well, I want to share with you a few things on how to study and be successful in school. Now, Janie and Mary have heard this. And if you, seriously, if you would, this is basically going to be the same old mashed potatoes and gravy. And if you have, would all of you agree that they brought people to the freshman ministry team? And if you would rather go study or do something, you know, with your time that would be better, would all of you agree that that would be okay? Okay, well, you can do that, and we'll still think you love God and everything, but I think that would, you know, that would be okay. So seriously, you know, if y'all want to leave, just go ahead, you know, and, or you can go at the break. We're going to have a little break in here and have a skit with the famous staff players. But anyway, let's get on with it here. Well, let me start with this. Why isn't everybody successful in school? Let me ask you that. Tom?
They're not all disciplined.
Okay.
Motivation.
What?
Motivation.
Discipline. What else?
Some are stupid.
Okay. Okay. Lack of intelligence. That's a good reason. What else? Unhappy with their major. Why do you think people are unhappy with their major a lot of times? Okay, that's one reason.
Lack of purpose.
Okay, that's a good reason. Anything else? Bad time management. Whew. That's a good. All right. Well, there are several reasons why people aren't successful in school. Let me give you this definition of success. Success is measuring what we are by what we could be, and what we have done by what we could have done. Measuring what we are by what we could be, and what we have done by what we could have done. Achieving the full potential God plans for us. Now, some of you He didn't give you but about 100 IQ or a 90 IQ or something like that. God does not expect you to be A students. But you can be an excellent student, because you can achieve the full potential that God intended for your life. Well, now, why be a success? If you're going to do an outline, this would be B. Why be a success? Why make the best grades you can? Well, there are two basic reasons. First of all, it's God's will, and the other reason is you'll get a job. Two pretty good reasons. It's God's will, and you'll get a job. Well, who knows some verses why you think it's God's will that we do well in school? Okay, Joshua 1:8. What else?
Corinthians 10:31.
What's that say, Jim?
Okay, glory of God.
What else? Any others that really hit you?
Colossians 3:23.
Okay, what's that say, Bernie?
Do all your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for
man. Okay, excellent. Excellent. Do all as unto the Lord. Okay, if what you're doing is as unto the Lord, make certain it reflects well on that name, in other words. Okay? Colossians 3:23 was that one. Okay?
Proverbs 18:9,
what's that?
He is slack in his work,
his
brother, the one
that destroys. That one stings. Okay, well, I think that proves it pretty well there.
What was that one? Proverbs
Proverbs 18:9.
Okay, another reason is that, you know, somebody that knows Matthew 5:48, what is it? Somebody tell me. Okay. Therefore, be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay? So, Jesus told us at the end of the Sermon on the Mount to be perfect. Perfect. Christ commands it. Well, consider the excellence of God. He's excellent in name, in loving kindness, in His work, in His ways, in His will. Y'all don't have to write all that down. You know that God is excellent in everything He does. And if we're to be a reflection of God, because of the Holy Spirit's dwelling in us, and one aspect of that reflection would be to be an excellent student. Okay? All right, the second reason is you'll get a job. You will get a job. Now, there are three basic reasons why. First of all, employers seek those with highest marks. Employers seek those with highest marks. I don't know if you need to write this down, but I think most of you, some of you may not realize that. I know in the engineering school you know that. Because the guys that really make the good grades, they ask you that, and they will give you, they will pay you in direct proportion as you make good grades. And you won't get paid as well. So you just remember that while you're studying, that you're earning a better salary when you get out, if you do that. Okay? Secondly, the same habits and skills which make for a successful student bring later success. The same habits and skills which make for a successful student bring later success. And that's why they hire people with higher marks. They know that if you are a gunner in school, you'll be a gunner on the job. And if you're slothful at school, you're more than likely going to be slothful on the job. Thirdly, it prevents later limitations. It prevents later limitations in your life. Boy, how many of you are... Some of you that are seniors now know what I'm talking about. Because about the time you were a sophomore or a junior, and you'd already ripped off a couple of C's and maybe a D or so, all of a sudden you felt like God was leading you to be a doctor or something. And you knew then that you had just canceled yourself out of that. Or going to grad school, or going to law school. You know, and it really does limit you later on down the road. So those of you who are non-majors, you don't know, you're undecided at this point, just remember, try to make the very best grades you can, because you never know how God will want to lead you in that area. So that's another reason. It'll keep you out of saying, oh, if I'd only made good grades, I'd want to go to law school. But I can't get in now. I could go, wouldn't have a prayer getting in. You know, it'd be one of the greatest miracles that ever occurred if God decided to do that. Okay, let's see. We're going to have to abbreviate a little bit here. Okay, the basics of a successful student. The basics of a successful student. Two little basics is he's got clear-cut goals and he's growing spiritually. He's got clear-cut goals and he's growing spiritually. In other words, he knows where he's going. Why am I here at OU campus? Why am I here? What on earth am I doing going to college? Why am I here? Why am I majoring in what I'm majoring in? If you don't have that clearly in mind, you're going to have problems. You're going to have a struggle about trying to make your grades in your major, whatever it is. So I would encourage you to read a certain book, and I would also encourage you to watch Max's video. The book is Dayton and Engstrom's Goals, Strategy for Living. Dayton and Engstrom, Strategy for Living. And Max's tape on priorities and use of time, because I'm convinced that that is one of the key reasons why people don't make good grades, is because they fail to discipline themselves in the area of time. They just don't know what they're going to be doing next, and so they're just a victim of whoever comes along. Okay? So that's a key thing. Now, the reason that is because we go along. I wish I had my blackboard here, but the reason we... The way to plan is, first of all, you set up your priorities, then you set your goals in light of your priorities, and then you make plans to get to your goal. Okay? Priorities, goals, and then you've got a plan to get there. Okay? Because of the old saying, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time without fail. So, for instance, if you want to go to med school and you're taking organic chemistry and you know that you need to make an A in that course, well, then you're going to have to set up a plan to get there, like maybe studying 2 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, if you're a good student. That's just an example there. Okay, we're going to stop and have an assignment, okay? The first thing I want you to do is sit down and list your priorities in order, okay? Janie and Mary, you might be able to help somebody think through that. You've already done that. But you might get with somebody and help them do that. But list your priorities in order. do about the top four or something like that, or five, whatever. And you just gonna have a few minutes, and then I want you to set grade goals for each class that you're taking. Okay? You know why? Because there's a real important principle here. I used to not do that, and I found that I was subconsciously setting B grade goals, because I could make an 87 on a test, and I'd go, whew, man, I'm sure glad I didn't embarrass myself on that test, you know? And I'd be satisfied with that, because I really was not in my thinking I had failed on that test to make what I really wanted to make, you know? And so I made a lot of B's before I realized that. Okay. So go ahead and do that. I'll give you about 5 minutes to do that. List your priorities in order of importance and set grade goals for each of your classes. If you need to get in pairs and talk about this, any you can. It'll help you to think through it with somebody. As you want them. As you want them. As you feel.
John, what kind of time reference do you have? I mean, priorities for your life, priorities for the next 5 years?
No, your priorities for right now. What are your priorities? For example, God, my ministry, school, you know, things like that, okay? For right now. Okay, one more minute, and you can finish this up later if you haven't yet.
I think we can do both. Okay. Then, probably.
because it gets real slow if you don't.
Okay. One more thing and then we're going to see our skit, okay? The second basic of a successful student is spiritual growth. Now that, gang, is one of the reasons why you're on the ministry team. I mean, even if maybe in your priorities, and it may be this way that before God, that your priority is school over your ministry. If that's your priority, this will still help you to achieve that priority. Because if you don't have a real purpose for your life, it's really hard to do well in school. And some of you can attest to that fact because you struggled in your early school years with that, about a purpose. Because after all, you know, kind of like the question mark in the RPL thing that we used to hand out, you know, man goes to school, eventually graduates, and so on. And life is basically meaningless without a relationship with God. So if you don't plan time for God, you'll leave God out and you'll get spiritually dry and you'll lose sight of your goals. Or they'll become carnal goals. They will. They'll become materialistic and selfish goals. Okay? So that's a pretty good reason. Another thing about this struggle that you have with ministry and school and all that, let me just tell you this, that however you decide on that, I will tell you this, if you're having that struggle now between school and ministry, you're going to have the same struggle between job and ministry. You are. It'll be just the same. And so now is the time to come to grips with that and to decide, you know, because when you get out of school, yeah, you're going to have time in the evening, but you see, the thing is, you will have no time during the day when you're on your job as far as direct spiritual work, unless you're in full-time work. You know, you won't be out witnessing or drumming up a Bible study. And so you're going to have to make that decision when you get off the job and you're tired and you want to go home and watch what NBC or ABC or CBS has for you for the night. You're going to have to make that choice between that and between having a ministry. That and having a ministry. And so that's the real decision that you need to make now. Okay? So one of the things that old Scott Dellinger shared with me, you know, he was really a successful student. And I asked him how he did it because I noticed, man, at night he had a lot of time, it seemed like. He was around here all the time and he never seemed to cry about how busy he was. And yet, boy, he did more than anybody I knew. And it was because he treated school just like a job. And he said, you know, when you're on a job, it's 40 hours a week. And you don't take 2 hours for a break. You don't take a two-hour break during the day. And so I just worked at school. My job was here at school, and I worked 40 hours a week on school. And he was an excellent student. And he's in, not med school, what is it, Jim? Osteopathic school. And that requires excellent grades. But that's how he treated school, was like a job, a 40-hour week job. And he didn't goof off for hours at a time during the day. Okay, we're having our skit, and you guys watch now all these things that go on during this skit and try to take a few notes. We'll be taking notes afterwards on some specific tips on how to study, some basic principles of study after the skit. Yeah, you can turn around so you can see over there. It's going to be over this way.
Oh, it has been one long day. Oh. I don't know if I'm ever going to get this closet cleaned up for another day. Oh. Good night. Oh. All right, Gabe. do a little study in here. B apostrophe. Use. Denver v. Cleveland. I can't believe it. Pittsburgh. Use the apostrophe to indicate the possessive case except for personal pronouns. That's a good idea. Seattle. Seattle
beat Houston.
All right.
Hey, Ralph, what are you doing? Hey, man.
Well, that's your birthday day. You want to go play? Look at, yeah, I thought San Diego, but hey, I got urge to go play ball. You want to go play some? I mean, it's pretty day, man. It's beautiful out there.
Oh, Max, I really like you, except I got to finish this chapter on the apostrophe.
Well, you can't do anything else, man. It'll be dark after a while. You can study after dark. Good night. Look out there. Let's go play some ball. Come on. Well, I mean, a bunch of guys are coming, right?
Who's playing?
Well, me and you. And... come on. Let's go. I mean, you can study later. Come on, bud. We need to go, boy. It's just too pretty late.
Okay. Boston
will have to wait. 8 hours later.
Oh, man. Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got that test tomorrow. Good night. Oh, man. Good grief. It's 11:30.
Hey, Ralph, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I'm saying, Larry. How you doing, Nick? apostrophe. You didn't have an apostrophe back
oh,
there.
Oh, man, do I remember that fall? Boy, it got me one day. Yeah, I had a test on that one time, man, I tell you.
Yeah, I can understand.
You got a test on that coming up to you?
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's, oh, man, that's tough. Yeah. Man, who's that good-looking gal I saw you with the other day?
Oh, that's Pam.
Oh, really? Well, man, I tell you.
Okay, that's it. Give him a hand there. Okay, I want you to take notes on yourself real quickly here. Let's brainstorm. Now, what were some of the things that you noticed there that needed correction? Okay? What were some of the things that you noticed? Jim? Okay, Jim? Okay, his desk is a mess. All right, that's extremely important. Don't ever try to study. Now, don't ever try to study with a cluttered desk. It really does psych you out, and you may not even notice it. As far as that may be the way you basically study, and you've never really thought about it, but that'll really demotivate you to come in and see your desk a wreck, and then try to study on it. So that's one thing. Keep a clean desk wherever you study. Okay, what else? Quickly. Okay, distractions of the radio and TV. What else? Okay, woman kept bothering him. Okay, what were some of the distractions that you saw? The TV, the radio, the phone, friends. Moonies, all those kind of things go on. Now, there's one thing that you can do about every one of those almost. Don't try to study in your room if you live in the dorm. Or if you live in an apartment, a lot of times it's just not best to try to study in your apartment. If your apartment is Grand Central Station, don't try to study there. It just won't work. So isolate yourself. I mean, sometimes studying is a real rough discipline. And it's best just not to try to have study dates, and it's not best to try to study with a friend. Go off and isolate yourself in some back corner of the library or someplace and get on with it. And you can study a lot faster and more effectively if you'll do that. Okay, another thing, did you notice what time Ralph finally got around to studying? 11:30. Pick a time conducive to studying. To learning, pick a time conducive to learning, and that'll be when your mind is working at its best. Another one is promise yourself a short break after. Save that one. I want to get to all the ones in the skit. Another one is never leave any assignment to be done the night before a test. Just don't do it. Plan your schedule well enough that if you have to gun it. Two nights before, go ahead and do that. But don't do it just the night before. It's so hard on you mentally. Another good thing for you to do would be to plan when you're going to study specific subjects. Just plan it. You know, this afternoon from 3 to 5:30, I'm going to be studying physics, you know. On Mondays, and I know what I'm going to be doing. And then when Max comes in to ask you to play football, or maybe he does it while you're in the cafeteria or something, you can say, oh, what time you want to play? Oh, 3? No, I'm sorry, but at 3 I've got an appointment to go study. and I'm supposed to study my physics. And then you know what you're going to do with that time. Well, that one used to get me so much. You know, that one really got me. And I imagine it gets most of you. Okay, that would be an outside activity for you to do. And by the way, if those of you who have not established a schedule for your week, go down to the bookstore and you get one of those schedules and you block off your time, the things that you have got to do, and get those down so you know where your time's going, because you're leaking minutes and probably hours because you don't know what you're going to be doing next. And block off times to study specific subjects in there. That'll really help you. Now that, you know, well, that's enough said on that. Basically, this stuff hasn't really been anything you didn't know. But some of this stuff later on here is going to hit you, I have a feeling. One thing I noticed about an A student, he was a 4.0 student. In fact, he finished. He didn't make a B at Baylor. And he was an accounting major, so he was sharp. But, you know, I asked him one time. He didn't seem like he worked that hard. Now, he studied, but he didn't just kill himself. And I asked him, well, what do you do? What's your secret? And he said, well, it's real easy. I do what my profs say to do when they tell me to do it. I just do what my profs tell me to do when they tell me to do it. So that's a good rule to work off of. Man, just do it. Don't put it off. Another thing that I would encourage you to do, if you've never done this, even if you're a senior, I would encourage you, if you don't read well, to take a speed reading course. I know a guy at Baylor that flunked out of school his first semester. He flunked out. I mean, he made bad, bad grades. And the main reason he did is because he couldn't read well. He really couldn't read. I mean, he couldn't even read passable. He was a pitiful reader. And what he did, he went back home and got a job, and he took a speed reading course. And he came back to school the next year, and he was a B-minus student, and that was excellent for him. He was a B-minus student. He made B's with a few C's along the way, the rest of school. And he graduated from seminary even and did better in seminary because reading is one of the big things you do in seminary. So he did well because he took that speed reading course. So I would encourage you to do that. Okay, another good tip would be to set short goals as you study. Set short goals. In other words, it's the old Swiss cheese method. Poke holes in big tasks and they don't seem so big to you anymore. Okay? Another one that goes along with that is tackle the most difficult tasks first. Tackle the most difficult tasks first. If you have a paper that's due and you hate English, but it's due soon, and you've got a reading assignment to do for another class, don't do the reading assignment first. Start poking holes in that big assignment that's overwhelming to you so it won't seem so overwhelming to you anymore. If you just get a little piece of it done, it won't seem so big anymore. So that, man, that really helped me a lot when I started doing that some. Try to understand what you're memorizing. I remember when I was taking Spanish in high school, I didn't try to understand the dialogues. We had to, you know, to do these dialogues in front of the class, conversations. And I wouldn't understand, I wouldn't translate them beforehand. You were supposed to translate them and then memorize them and do them before the class. And I wouldn't do that. I was a slothful student, and I'd memorize the thing, and I knew the words, but I didn't have the foggiest idea what the person was saying. You know, and so I just kind of memorized, oh, it's my turn, and I'd say my little thing there, you know, and then they'd say theirs, and it was so hard for me to do that. Now, I had plenty of time to translate it and memorize it if I were just understanding, and that really helps in, you know, some of the sciences, too. If you're memorizing any kind of steps or anything, if you just memorize them rote memory, that's a terrible way to learn. And when you're memorizing, something to help you is if you will reinforce it manually. Muscular learning reinforces mental learning. So if you write it or type it out, some of you that are typists, type your notes up. When you get through with the lecture class, go home and type your notes up. Not only will you have a neat page to study off of, but you will have reinforced some learning. You will have begun to learn that material. as you're typing it. Okay, quickly, I want to go over some principles of taking notes that will help you. Now, everybody has their own little way to do this, but the main rule here is be neat and be organized. Be neat and be organized. And the thing that helped me the most was having a three-ring binder for each course, not using spiral notebooks. Now, I did that at first because I thought that was real Joe College to have one of those little ruled spiral notebooks or something. But it doesn't work as well. And it'll help you if you'll use something that you can open up and you can insert things like your syllabus, and you don't lose your syllabus in the middle of the semester because you stuck it in your spiral notebook. You know, you remember that one? Okay, well, that's one of the problems of using spirals. And you can insert notes that you miss in there, and you can reorganize things. And so that's an important thing. And also, if you haven't started doing this yet, this is so dumb, but date your entries. Your entries when you're about to take notes on something, put your date down, because you may miss a day of class or something or two or something, and then you can't remember where those notes go, the missing notes go, and that'll really help. Remember this too, some of you that aren't note takers, and this is one that I really need to work on still, is the palest ink is better than the most retentive memory. So don't expect to remember things just because you have a good mind or something. Write everything down you possibly can in a lecture. Just write it down. Write like crazy. The palest ink is better than the most retentive memory. Another thing to do is watch for key phrases. Always watch for key phrases, especially in classes where it's not objective material so much, like in math courses and things like in science, is you need to learn to watch for things like the main point, or this is important, or note this, or this is a very significant thing. When they say that, they're basically dropping a hint that this you probably will see again. And so really star that or mark it or something. Let's see. That's enough on that. Let's do taking tests real quickly. Some key tips on taking tests. Oh, another thing on taking notes that you might remember is something that really started helping me is to highlight my notes. When I first began to study to get an overview of my notes is to take a highlighter and just highlight the key things in my notes. And by the last time I went over them, then I'd go into depth into everything, and then I'd go back and really study, concentrate on my highlighted notes. Okay, taking tests. on objective test first. Answer the easy questions first. Go all the way through the test and answer the easy questions. And then when you check your work, change the questionable answers only if you've made an obvious mistake. Don't change your first impression is usually right on things like that unless you've really made an obvious mistake. Eliminate immediately the obviously incorrect answers to prevent confusion in your mind. You know, so if you were taking a test in religion or something, a religion course, and it said Jesus Christ was the milkman, you know, was born in 1850, you know, was the Son of God, you know, was a German. Well, you know, you could mark out a few of those. To start with, you wouldn't even have to think about those. And probably stick some dumb things in there usually. Mark those out so you don't even have to think about those. And you can usually eliminate those multiple guess tests down to two, you know. Okay. Try something in every blank. In a fill in the blank or anything like that, try something in every blank. Something is always better than nothing on those things. And you may luck out and get something right, even if you don't have the foggiest idea. Try something. And watch out for qualifying terms. Watch out for qualifying terms. Sneaky profs will do this. This has nothing to do with learning. It's just, and that's kind of hacks me off about those kind of tests. But
things like almost, all, any, only, things like that. They'll throw you sometimes on objective tests with those little phrases. Okay, on essay tests, the best way that I found, and I was an English major, and I can speak with authority on this one for sure, the best way to do well on an essay test is to sit down and study your material and then write up some mock questions. Write up some, try to anticipate what are some significant questions that that prof could possibly ask me to do an essay on, and then do an essay and polish that thing up and outline it. Okay? Because that was one of the things I never figured out. You know, I thought, well, this is an essay test. All I can do is read the material and then hope for the best. Well, no, you don't have to do that. You can prepare for them. Okay? Secondly, divide your time according to the worth of the question. Don't spend 30 minutes of your time on a 15-point question. Go on to the biggies. Okay? And a good thing to do is to just read through. Well, that's enough. This is the next one. Read all questions before answering any of them. Read all the questions before you answer any, because you may say something in number one that it asks in number two. Okay? Read all the questions before answering any. Kind of get an overview of the thing. And then skip the ones you don't know and come back to them. Skip the ones you don't know anything about and come back to them. And really key in on the ones that are worth the most and the ones you know the most about. Okay? Okay, when you first read a question, jot down what you want to cover. And this is where your outline comes in from your mock questions. Jot down a basic outline of what you want to say, what you want to cover in that essay. And then fifthly, long, thorough answers usually earn better grades than brief ones. Now, there's some profs, and you can read them by after your first test, but most of them think, well, he must know a lot about this, because they have to read hundreds of those blue books, you know, and a lot of times they're getting a general impression when they're reading your material, and they don't read everything you've got there, but if they see an answer that's this long, they think, well, he must know something about this, so that will affect. So don't just get down the raw skeleton there, if at all possible. Okay, and along with that, the basic principle there is try to incorporate all you know on essays. Try to incorporate everything you know on an essay question. If you learn some neat little thing and it doesn't exactly answer that, but you've got the time, man, put it in there on the side. You know, don't squander your time on that. And when you're looking through the questions, time yourself. One of the worst things that people do is they run out of time on essay tests. So break down, okay, number one's worth this much, I'm going to spend 15. And this one's worth this much, I'll spend 10 on that. And just write by each question how many minutes you're going to spend. And stop, I mean, discipline yourself on that. Okay. That is enough. We'll quit there and have some time. Give you guys some time in your cell groups. But I really would encourage you to sit down and plug in your schedule. That will be the greatest help to you. And another thing is, there are some people in here who are excellent, excellent students. If you can get some time with them and talk to them about how they study. See, Bernie here is a PhD student. Well, there's a pretty good indication there he's an excellent student. Get an appointment with him and ask him about some principles of study. Some of these brains in here, go ask them or go study with them sometime and watch how they study. So I would really encourage you to ask some of the real Sharpies in here how they study, because you can really learn from them. One other thing. Well, I tell you what. If you're having trouble reading textbooks, come talk to me about it. If you have a hard time reading a textbook, come talk to me about it, okay? Because there's a trick to that. And I would, Charlie Ann, has ordered a book on how to study. And if you really desperately need something on how to study, I have two copies of a book by Clyde Naramore. He's a psychologist. And it is excellent. It'll take you about an hour to read through the whole thing. It's a little book. It'd really help you on studying.